This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Always and forever we begin with the praise and the thanks of Allah. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And we send our love and greeting salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. To his pious and pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, after a bit of a break from my side, we continue and hope, inshallah, to conclude on this series, the miracles of the Quran. And we said that the reason for the series is not only to respond to those out there who disregard or disrespect the Quran, rather it's for us to be convinced and to be sure of the truthfulness of the Quran. And we said that Allah did not send any Nabi, except that along with him there was a sign, there was a miracle for him to show to his people. And for us, the miracle that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that he was given is this book. Although the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given many miracles, the major miracle is the miracle of the Quran. And if a non-Muslim were to ask you, and this was the challenge that really I put forward for the series, if a non-Muslim were to ask you, what evidence do you have that your religion is correct? What evidence can you present? We always say the Quran is our evidence. Well, what do you mean by that? What can you say about the Quran that makes it miraculous, that gives me confidence I can believe in it? And inshallah, today we'll recap some of the points we've made and conclude inshallah. We mentioned that when you want to prove something is a miracle, you need to define what a miracle is. A miracle is something which cannot be replicated. It cannot be scientifically reproduced. It cannot be naturally occurring. It is something that it is extraordinary. It cannot be explained. And so if we remember, we mentioned, if we compare the Quran to other books, not other religious books, just to any other book in the world, what makes the Quran stand out? You need to ask yourself, do I know of any other book like that? Do I know of any author like that? And if you cannot find something similar to it, then you need to concede that this book is beyond human production. We mention of the linguistic miracles that the Quran is the oldest and the first book in the Arabic language. No book preceded in Arabic. The whole Arab civilization is based on this book. We mention that it is the highest point of eloquence, that till today, 1,500 years later, if you go to any university in the world, Harvard, Oxford, and you want to study Arabic as a language, nothing to do with Islam, I want to study Arabic, part of your curriculum will be to study the Quran, because it is of the highest level of eloquence in the Arabic language. The Bible is not the most eloquent book in the English language. Similarly, other religious scriptures are not taken as books of literature, it's a book of guidance maybe. But this book is the highest and greatest book of eloquence in the Arabic language. And we said that what made this book so amazing is, unlike any other book in history, it caused the entire Arabic language to be crystallized. Arabic is the only language on earth that is unchanging. No other book has done this. No other book has caused an entire language to become static in time because of the Quran. We said that there's no errors. It was revealed over a period of time, yet there's been no revision. Every single book on earth, whether it is a scientific book, a dictionary, an encyclopedia, a religious book, you have a new edition, a revised edition. Because as time goes on, we update it, we improve it. This book has not been updated by one dot for 1,500 years. And to this day, not a single error is there in this book. We mentioned of the scientific miracles. And this is something which only our generation, in the last 100 years, many of these scientific miracles have come to light. Some of these scientific miracles are so clear, without extrapolation. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He created the heavens with might, and that He is expanding it continuously, currently it's expanding. In the last 100 years, Einstein mentioned perhaps the greatest thing that we've discovered in the last 100 years was the fact that the universe is expanding. Edwin Hubble won a Nobel Prize for proving that the universe was expanding, proving that the universe has a big bang. All of this, Allah said very clearly, 1005, wa inna lahu la musi'un. We are continuously expanding it. The origins of life, how everything comes from water, how the embryo is formed, why the mountains, how it causes stability in the ground, preventing earthquakes. Very, very concise, clear language. These words that Allah put in the Quran, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used words that at that time were controversial. When Allah says, وَكُلُّمْ فِي فَلَقِهِ يَسْبَحُونَ in Surah Yasin, Allah says that the sun and the moon and everything, the stars, they are all in orbit. They are moving. Nothing is static in space. In the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the people believed the earth was standing still and the universe was moving. Then as science developed, they said, no, the earth is moving and the sun is standing still. Allah says, no, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, everything, كُلُّمْ فِي فَلَقِهِ يَسْبَحُونَ. And when you look at what we know of the universe now, every single planet, every single star, is in, even the galaxies themselves are in orbits. And the word Allah used, swimming, floating. Perfect language, the word is so perfect that it fits in with our modern science. We mention also, subhanAllah, that the Quran made very, very clear prophecies and predictions. And not a single one of these predictions have been refuted to be incorrect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the conquest of the Romans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the conquest of Makkah without any fighting. SubhanAllah. Allah says that you will conquer Makkah without fighting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Nabi Ibrahim, you will build a Kaaba in the middle of nowhere. And you will make adhan. And you will find that people will come to this place from every country on earth. SubhanAllah. Nabi Ibrahim didn't see that. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did not see it. We see it today. Allah says, on not only every country, they will come on every mode of transportation. They will come by land, sea and air. SubhanAllah. Exactly as Allah mentioned. Everything has come as Allah had decreed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this Quran will never ever be changed. No religion on earth. As I said, you need to compare one with the other. No other scripture on earth, religious scripture, is free of additions, changes, subtractions. No other religious scripture on earth is free of dispute. Their scholars, their ulama, their priests, their rabbis, their gurus are debating, is this the Bible? Is this the Torah? Some says yes, some say no. Should we add this? Should we subtract it? Or you go throughout the world, you'll find different versions of the religious books. Every now and then it's updated and changed. Allah said in the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was one man alone, when he was being persecuted and his Sahaba were being killed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this Quran will never be changed. وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِذُونَ Allah says, and I am the one that is going to protect it. All the other scriptures, Allah had decreed that the Torah and the Injil would disappear, would be changed. But this one Allah said, I don't need the Ummah to protect it. It will forever be protected. Now you ask, which other religion? You can go to Brazil, you can go to China, you can go to the North Pole, the South Pole. You have Salafis and Sufis and Wahhabis and Shias and Ahmadis, whatever it is. You ask them, not Ahmadis, you ask them, bring another Quran. Everyone, even though we disagree on even how to make Salah, we disagree on what day is Eid, we disagree on everything. But no one has a second version of the Quran. The exact same Quran. Because there is no dispute and debate as to what is Quran. Allah predicted, Allah enforced, and Allah doesn't make predictions. He makes promises that this Quran will never ever be changed. Ask what other religious book has this. We also mentioned very clearly that how is it possible that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the author of this Quran? We mentioned how is it possible that a person who never even wrote one sentence in his life produced the most profound book in the Arabic language and the greatest book in humanity, and that he is not the main character, he's not mentioned compared to other Anbiya in the Quran, his family isn't mentioned, rather the discussions and the message about the Quran refers to other characters. Maryam alayhi salam is the only lady that is mentioned in the Quran, not the mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Khadija. Where the Nabi himself is reprimanded in certain places gently by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected the Nabi. So who is the author then? Question mark. If it is not Allah, it is surely not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then who is the author? Where did this book come from? The historical accounts that are mentioned in the Quran. What is amazing about the Quran, something we probably didn't talk in detail about, are besides the future prophecies, the historical accounts. I want you to imagine, you come upon a tribe that has been completely isolated from mankind. You come to a jungle where it's desert and you find this tribe. They don't have cell phones. They've never interacted with any other civilization. And they will tell you very clearly about, you know, our history. They will tell you, and then Jan van Riebeek came to your country at this time and Nelson Mandela was there and this happened and that happened. We say, how did you know? So, no, we got revelation about this. And everything that is mentioned here corroborates exactly with what we know of historical accounts. In the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how many libraries were there? Zero. How many books were there? Zero. The Bible, was it translated into Arabic? No. Yet the accounts of the previous nations, Allah will say in the Quran, and you, O Muhammad, you were not there when I spoke to Musa. You were not there when they were disputed who will look after Maryam. Exactly as we know, what we know 100% to be true from fact, the Quran aligns. And where we know the Bible made mistakes, we don't find that in the Quran, subhanAllah. There are certain things in the Quran that are not yet, are not in the Bible currently. For example, you will not find, there's a story of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. We know in the Quran, he blew life into a bird. You will not find this miracle in the Bible. And that Nabi Isa alayhi salam spoke as a baby. You won't find this in the Bible today. 100 years ago, a scripture, a monk was, in Egypt, a monk whose tomb was uncovered. And on his chest, he had a Bible. Now, the Bible went through many revisions. This Bible that he had, there was a gospel, a surah, a chapter called the Surah of Thomas. Allah alam who this person is, the Sahabi or not. And in this gospel, you find Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, blowing life into a bird and speaking as a baby. So how is it possible that some would say that Nabi salam copied from the Bible and the Torah and the Injil? But number one, it wasn't translated. And number two, everything that is incorrect in there is not copied in the Quran. A very simple answer, a very simple example we gave, you will not find in the Quran that in the surah of Nabi Yusuf, the word Pharaoh is used for the king of Egypt. The word Pharaoh is not used, only king, the king of Egypt, because the title Pharaoh only came much later. So how is it that we take what is correct, but we know what not to take? And this, subhanAllah, if you really wanted to do an analysis, just read one narrative of the same surah, the same story. The story of Noah, the story of Yusuf, Joseph, the story of Nabi Isa even. Story of Nabi Isa and his conception in the Bible versus the Quran. And you ask, which one do you think is more from the creator of the universe? Look at the language, look at the style. So these miracles and these observations, as we said, are for a people, Allah says, of understanding, and it is for a people to think about. But you don't need a PhD, you don't need to be a scientist or a linguist or an alim even, to see for yourself what is right in front of you. Let us talk about certain simple evidences that are right in front of our eyes. We ask, is there any book like this? Today the Quran undoubtedly is the most revered and the most followed scripture in the world. It has the most believers. You know, today, how do you know who is the number one person in the world? How many likes you get? How many likes you get, right? How many fans you get? How many followers you get? The Quran has the most believers in the world. Now, some of you say that's not right. There are more Christians than Muslims, right? It's true. There are more Christians than Muslims, correct. But they all have different Bibles, different versions. So if you take the Catholic Bible, that's half the Christians. And you take the Protestant Bible, that's another half of the Christians. You take the Ethiopian Orthodox Bible, the Coptic Bible, you split each group out according to their scripture, you'd find it's only a few, maybe 100 million. But 1.5, 1.6 billion Muslims all subscribe and believe in this book. So the mere fact that this is the most believed religious scripture in the world, that it is the most followed religious scripture on earth, makes it the number one book, the bestseller. The second thing, just for you to think about, we know with certainty, the only book on earth that is being recited at every single second, every moment, is the Quran. How do I know that? Somewhere in the world, the sun is setting, it's Maghrib. Yes? Somewhere in the world, the sun is rising, it is Fajr. Somewhere it's Dhuhr, somewhere it's Asr. And somewhere in the world, someone right now is making Salah, and they're reciting Surah Fatiha. And what does Allah call Surah Fatiha? SubhanAllah. What does Allah call Surah Fatiha in the Quran? Allah calls it the Saba'a Mathani. Allah says, I revealed the Quran and the Saba'a Mathani. The Quran and the seven verses that are continuously being recited. Allah calls Surah Fatiha that in the Quran. The seven ayat that will be recited non-stop. Surah Fatiha. It is the only book on earth where right now you can be sure someone is reciting it, and not only reciting it from memory. They are reciting it from memory. How many books? We are educated people. Many of you have been to university. Some of you have PhDs even. We've met highly, highly intelligent people. Have you met any single person on earth that has memorized a book cover to cover? Whether it is Shakespeare, whether it is biology, whether it is law, whatever it is. Have you ever met anybody that can quote you, he can take you, this book, take this book, and I will, and you can open any page, and I can read it from memory, word for word, dot for dot. No. Not in any language, not in English, not in French, not in Chinese. No person on earth can we find, do we know of, that has memorized a book cover to cover, unless you'd find a very, very unique group of people that are deep in a science. How many people, if I ask how many people here are Hufadh that memorize the Quran, some of you might raise your hands. And if I ask how many of you know of a Hafiz or have one in your family, all of you might raise your hands. So if this book is the only book on earth that has been memorized cover to cover by children as young as 6 years old and people as old as 80 years old, the vast majority of them, 90% of them, don't understand a word of what they're reciting. Now, it's not a good thing, but the fact that you have memorized a book in a language you don't know, verbatim, and you ask which other group can replicate this, subhanAllah? Which other book is like it? We said a miracle is, produce me a book. Allah asked the challenge. Allah says in Surah Baqarah, produce something like it, one surah like it. Take one surah and make one, subhan surah Fatiha, 1 billion people has memorized the surah. Word for word. They recite it every single day. Many of them don't, unfortunately, even understand what they're reciting. But Allah says, produce something like it. Call whoever you want to support you. All the men and all the jinn and all the technology and AI and ChatGPT. Bring everybody. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا Allah says, you can't do it and you will never be able to do it. Then beware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beware of the Jahannam. Every hafiz that you see is a walking, talking miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Hufadh, and some of us, I mean, subhanAllah, we know Hufadh, friends of ours. It's not like, mashallah, the fact that you've memorized the Quran, that they have a super memory. If that was the case, they should memorize like any other book. They should memorize their biology textbooks. But subhanAllah, we find out Hufadh that, mashallah, when it comes to Quran, they can memorize. Other areas, they can't even remember their wife's phone number. It's the reality. We know Hufadh like that. Because Allah says, we've made the Quran easy to be remembered. It's a promise from Allah. And, you know, for those who study Islamic studies, if you were given a page of Quran to memorize, this is the words of Allah, and you were given a hadith from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is eloquent, that page of Quran is easier to memorize than even a hadith from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though the hadith is eloquent, versus a few lines of poetry. You know, sometimes you need to memorize a definition in Arabic. You know, it's maybe something, what is farad, what is wajib, it's a definition. Whole night you try to struggle to memorize that one sentence. We've all experienced that in our own languages. Yet the Quran, it just has a way of, you repeat it enough times and you memorize it. You listen to it. Even a non-Muslim, there are non-Muslims who have memorized the Quran by reading it enough times. No other book on earth has that. If you were to say, okay, you Muslims love your Quran. Surely the Christians love their Bible. And the Jews love their Torah. Bring us your Hufadh. Bring us your Hufadh. You won't find anyone. You won't find the Pope. The Pope, subhanAllah, has not memorized the Bible. Here we have 5-year-old, 6-year-old that have memorized the Quran cover to cover. So Allah says, explain this. You and I read the Quran regularly. We listen to the Quran. How many times out of nowhere you find yourself in tears? For something that, and this is something everyone has experienced. I don't think there's a single person here that has heard the Quran and that recitation is beautiful. It touches your heart. Something stirs. You won't even know if someone asks you, what is the ayah that is causing you to cry? I don't know. I just feel it in my heart. Has this happened to you with any other language? With any other scripture? Is there anyone else on earth that hears something which they don't understand and something stirs in their heart? Now, if you cannot replicate it, you cannot reproduce it, you cannot show something similar to it, then where does it come from? How universal the Quran is, subhanAllah. We have all read the Quran, and inshallah, we hope that we read it also in English with understanding. The fact that when you were about to get married, you read the Quran, there were ayat which were relevant to you. Then you read it after you have kids, the ayat are relevant to you. Every time, place, situation, there are ayat which are relevant. SubhanAllah, let's take this ayah. The time of this 1,400 years, people read this ayah and they probably didn't think too much about it. There are not extensive tafsirs on this ayah. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى Allah says, and the male and the female are not the same. The ulama didn't take this as a big issue. Today, we know this is an issue. That a boy and a girl is not the same. لَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى Allah says that in the Quran. Things that we... you know, the relevance, if you take any situation you have in politics or in your life or in society, you open the Quran, you'll find an ayah that is relevant to you. No book has this, subhanAllah. And if you really want to measure this, the greatness of a book, look at the profound impact that it has done on civilization. You know, today, if I were to ask all of you, let's imagine the world 10 years from now. Who would be the big superpowers? We might say America or China or Russia. When the Quran was being revealed, if you asked who were the great powers and what would be the next civilization, they would say the Romans, the Persians, Yemen, whatever. The Arabs that time had nothing, no schools, no libraries, no books, nothing. Allah revealed the Arabs a book, and in 23 years it became the leading civilization on earth. Never in the history of mankind has a people gone from so far back to so far forward. And you ask, what changed in there? Literally, they got guidance from the summer. They got technology. They got revelation that pushed them into the future. This is what happened. And then that civilization ruled the world for over 1,000 years, subhanAllah, the foundation of which is the Quran. If you want to see a miracle, look at the impact the Quran has done on civilization. And so we can go on and on and on. And subhanAllah, as we said, this is for us to prove, to have contentment and comfort in our hearts. So without a doubt, the Quran is a miracle. It meets that definition. But what one might ask, is it really the greatest miracle of Allah? Can it really compete with Nabi Musa opening the Red Sea? Can it really compete with Nabi Isa alayhi salam with the miracle of Allah resurrecting the dead? And the answer is very simple. How many people saw the Red Sea being opened? Maybe a few hundred people. How many people saw Nabi Isa resurrecting the dead? Maybe a few people. But today, 6-7 billion people on earth can see and experience the miracle of the Quran for themselves. This is a miracle that every single person, it's a personal miracle Allah is giving you and me and me and every one of us. This is not entertainment. You have to believe, you need to take the plunge. Allah is not going to reveal Himself directly to you, but He's going to put evidences before you to use the aql that He gave you. And every single person no one can say, Ya Allah, you didn't give me a miracle. This is a miracle to every single person. And if you want to judge which miracle was the greatest of Allah, the one that brought the most hearts to Allah, that is the greatest miracle. And no other miracle of Allah brought the most hearts to Allah, brought the most people to Jannah other than the Quran. And so inshallah, we conclude with certain blessings. How do we now take this? For us at the very least, as the ulama mentioned, not a single day should go by where you don't read something of the Quran. It's like your charger, you know. Without that, your iman is diminished. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, qad ja'atkum maw'idha. I've sent to you a guidance and admonition from your Lord, wa shifa lima fi suduri, and a healing for your heart. This is good for your heart. This what I sent to you is a cure for all your sadness and all your problems, and a guidance, wa rahma lil mu'minin, and a mercy, a great mercy. Allah says, this is a gift to every single person. It's not for the ulama or the hufad. It is for every single person. Allah says, I've sent you a personal gift. So recite it and remember it. We know that the Nabi says that the best of all people are the people who have learned the most of the Quran and then teach it. Part of your life should either be a student of the Quran or a teacher of the Quran. The Nabi says, recite the Quran since it will be an intercessor for you to its owner on the day of Qiyamah and the Qabr, the one thing that will stand up and defend you and protect you and argue with you. Argue against who? Argue against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Quran. Ya Allah, as we know in the hadith, the Quran will say, I am the one that kept him busy. He recited me night and day. He recited me all the time. He struggled. So Ya Allah, I will stand in between you and the punishment. The Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Nabi told us, the one who recites the Quran easily, some of us, mashallah, we find it easy to recite the Quran, they will have the rank of angels on the day of Qiyamah. All those who recited the Quran beautifully and skillfully, they will have the rank of malaika on the day of Qiyamah. And as the one who recited it with difficulty, some of us are not so, the lagu is not so good, and we struggle, they will have a double reward. They will be greater than angels. So either you're an angel or you're higher than an angel. The Nabi says, whoever recites just 10 ayat, and 10 ayat, you know what 10 ayat is? Surah Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas and Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Falaq, the last two surahs of the Quran, if you add, it's about 10 ayat. Whoever recites 2 ayat in Qiyamul Layl at night, he will not be recorded as someone who neglected the Quran. So anyone who recites, so how do I know, Ya Allah, I've not neglected the Quran? At least recite 10 ayat of the Quran at night. And the one who recites 100 ayat, and I think this is about Juz Amma, then he'll be recorded as a devout, pious person. And of course, the one who recited 1,000 ayat, then he will be recorded as one of those, the best of the best. Allah says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ. It is a book that we've revealed, Mubarak, blessed, لِيُدَبِّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so that you may ponder and think. It will fix your life. There is not a problem that we are going through. Whatever problems you are going through, situations, challenges, fears, this book will be the book that answers all of them. In a beautiful hadith, and we end off with these two hadith, the Nabi says, verily Allah has a select group of people. The people of Allah. The people that belong to Allah. Of all of mankind, He chose a group of people. These will be His people. Who are these? They are the people of the Quran. The people of the Quran. The people who have the most Quran in them are the closest and dearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, inshallah, we make dua that Allah grants us to be the people of Allah. That we truly have this miracle within our midst, that we recite it, we ponder over it, we memorize it, we continuously read it. The more they abuse it and insult it, the more we'll read and recite. They burn one Quran, we'll produce a million hufaz, inshallah. This is how this ummah has always responded. And we make dua that Allah grants us the ability to carry this amana, to carry this book. Allah has sent it to us as the ummah. No Nabi after us. No Nabi after us. It is our job to carry this Quran. And it will be great even without us. But with it, it will make us great. May Allah grant us all the khair and barakah. Jazakallah khair. Just a few announcements. There is a breakfast fundraiser, inshallah. Our Maulid Jama'ah has been, our Khatibs, have been, Bilal's rather, have been invited to Port Elizabeth. And there is a breakfast, inshallah, in to assist them. And that is on the 9th of September at 10 to 12. So there's some, you know, inshallah, you can support and take the wife out, take the kids out for breakfast. Inshallah, it will be good. And then we make dua for my auntie or my grandmother's sister, Auntie Mastura, the mother of Mushfika Bouata. Maybe many of you know her. She had a major heart attack, as in hospital. We ask Allah to grant her shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her healing and make it easy for them. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.